Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
There was never any panic. There was never any false manufactured ooh-ah speech that someone had to make.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk to Dan Wiederer. Get used to him at this time on our Football Mondays. Dan Wiederer is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And our Football Mondays are also presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Dan Wiederer joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Well, let's start with the news before we get into the result from yesterday, Dan. It was a sort of a strange bit of timing for Matt Eberflus to tell us about Rome Odunze's injury and MRI, where and when he did in his press availability.
Yeah, hold your breath moment for sure as the Bears wait for more information and the results of that MRI. You go back through the video and you see that Rome got rolled up on a little bit on the fourth quarter bubble screen to Velus Jones. More on that in a minute. And obviously played one more play and that was the end of his day. Talked to the reporters after the game in the locker room and seemed to be in good spirits. So it'll be really interesting to see what this MRI turns up. That was a middle of the press conference bit of information that was dropped on us. And now we got to wait to see what those results turn up.
And it was strange, too, because that is something that maybe he starts with, because, you know, we came out of the game clean, or, you know, we got this thing.
Right.
But he wasn't even asked about Rome. And he offered it when talking about what the Keenan Allen. So it was a very strange role. It almost felt like to me, Weeds, that that he forgot to bring it up.
Well, there's such little consistency here with the way injury information is either provided or hidden, right? And so it's really hard on a day-to-day basis to figure out what that dance is going to look like and what it's going to feel like and how many follow-ups you have to ask to certain things to try to get upfront, straightforward information. You mentioned Keenan Allen. I still don't have much clarity on where he is health-wise coming out of this game. And that's another one to keep an eye on when Wednesday's practice starts. You could be going to Houston this weekend without two of your top three receivers either available or at full strength. And so something the Bears are going to have to navigate through here, and something you obviously wouldn't want your young quarterback to be dealing with when there's so much else for him to be dealing with right now.
Does that mean that Velus goes back to the wide receiver room?
Boy, I don't know where Velus goes back to, Lawrence. I kind of reached wit's end yesterday afternoon.
We're all here.
So welcome to this part of the program. I don't know. I mean, obviously you had Tyler Scott inactive yesterday. He could be activated. We'll see what happens health wise. I just look like they decided that Velus can't return punts for them. They decided that he wasn't a good enough receiver to fit in that room. Now you can't trust him on kickoff returns, which was supposed to be his bread and butter. And the mistake yesterday was simply catching a football that you work on all the time. And he called it lackadaisical. Well, you don't have
room.
The luxury anymore,
yes,
of being lackadaisical. This football team is built to, you know, contend for a playoff berth this year. And Velus Jones is a landmine on your football team right now. And you cannot keep putting him out there and putting the success of your team at risk.
Help me balance two things. One, this coaching staff, again, had an entire offseason to prepare for that first game. And the first half was miserable. It was they were not ready again. For whatever reason, whatever we want to say about preseason snaps or practices against other teams, they were down 17-0 at home against a mediocre team. And then they won the game. And they won the game in large part because of keeping true, of keeping everybody positive, of belief, and tactically, the way they widened out the defensive splits, the way they moved the ends out a little bit. They did respond both sort of motivationally and tactically. So should I be pleased with the response, or should I be livid about that first half?
You should be both, and I'm fine with straddling that fence, as painful as it might be, to be both pleased and livid at the same time, because I think there's a lot there. I can tell you that when Levis hit Okonkwo with that touchdown pass that put the Titans up 17-0, I had the thought in my press box, like, I can't do this again, right? Like, I can't go into this locker room after the game and document a team that came into the season with so much confidence, so much optimism, so much reason to believe that it was about to turn the corner. And now they're going to lay a turd in their opener at home against, as you called them, a mediocre Titans team that came into town. And so it was ugly there for the first 90 minutes. It was particularly jarring because there was so much energy in Soldier Field in the 45 minutes leading up to kickoff. And then for the 90 minutes immediately after kickoff, there was none, you know, and it was so flat. And it took the Daniel Hardy blocked punt to restore all that and get them turned around. I think when I left the parking garage last night to drive home, my overwhelming feeling was this team does have what it said it has in terms of leadership, in terms of steady belief, in terms of confidence, and the playmakers to make things happen. And it didn't need to be your stars yesterday making it happen. They had other guys contributing in ways that won you a football game, and that gives you a ton of belief to add to the snowball now as you go forward, because you've been in a really, really tough situation in your first game of the season, and you navigated it, and you did so without anxiety, without panic, and with a steadiness that ultimately got you a victory. It really did have some of that 2001, 2006 type magic sort of attached to it, where you say, yeah, that's a good feeling, and that's a feeling that they should pocket, not apologize for, and use going forward.
Why do you think Caleb Williams struggled yesterday?
Yeah, I think a combination of as much as we've lauded him for being pretty relaxed and able to jump into every situation in that sort of cool, calm, collected demeanor, I think he was nervy in some spots. There's some throws yesterday going back through the video this morning where you go, man, that's just a miss that we didn't see him miss at all in the preseason, that we didn't see him miss at all during training camp. Just some inaccurate balls that I would chalk up to a little bit of nerves. And some of those nerves get heightened when you have those protection leaks up front and all of a sudden you're not looking at where the football is supposed to go and you're looking over your shoulder to figure out who might be in your face next, you know? And so they got to get that cleaned up in a hurry, because we can't live through, you know, 2 months of this season with the offense unable to manufacture a passing game. And 64 net passing yards yesterday, guys, 11 first downs on 9 true possessions, not including the kneel downs at the end. That's ugliness personified right there. And so the Bears have to find answers, and they have to find ways to get their young quarterback comfortable quickly.
Are you, when you look at what some of the issues were with the Bears offensive line yesterday, can it be swept away to they were playing two really good defensive tackles?
I wouldn't sweep it away. I would certainly mention the context, because I will tell you that I was impressed with Sweat more than I expected to be. That dude is a big, fierce animal up front for the Titans, and he made life very difficult for the Bears offensive line. We knew coming in Jeffrey Simmons was going to be a headache, but I didn't know that Sweat was going to have that type of impact up front. You're going to face a lot of good football players going forward, maybe not to that level, but you better be able to manage things up front. And I was worried midway through camp that the durability of this offensive line was going to test the depth in ways you didn't want to test it. And right now we don't have a real feeling on whether Ryan Bates is at full strength enough to be able to give you what you would want out of him there. We always have questions about when Tevin Jenkins' next injury is going to pop up. We're trying to figure out where does Nate Davis fit on this football team, and Coleman Shelton, not the shiniest debut at all for the Bears in his debut. So you better get that figured out quickly, because it's going to make life very hard on the play caller. It's going to make life very hard on the quarterback. And if you put that much weight on a defense and a special teams unit to carry, eventually they're going to get tired and not be able to carry it.
All right, so what evaluation is actually going on? If we understand that there is some version of a competition going on at right guard, what does that mean for the center position?
Well, it means Coleman Shelton's your center and Doug Kramer's your backup for now.
What if Nate Davis wins the competition? Does that put Bates back in play as center?
It's a great question. And we'll have to feel that out in the next couple of weeks to see which way they want to lean with that. We'll get an opportunity Thursday to talk to Chris Morgan for the first time since camp ended, be able to pick his brain a little bit more on what some of the thoughts are in the room and how you kind of manage this. Because I think that they walked into training camp with a feeling like they had options, and now it feels like the options aren't as good as they thought they were, and some of them are hurt, and now you're just like, oh boy, you know, now we have to sort of get the duct tape out and keep this thing together particularly as we're trying to win football games early to create some of that momentum.
It seems as if, from listening to what guys said, and I saw some of the questions you were asking guys yesterday, that they all felt that the punt block was the thing that that kind of turned things around for the team. How did they work through all of that bad yesterday to put themselves in a position to win?
Kevin Byard was great this afternoon here at Halas Hall and sort of describing what he felt inside the locker room at halftime. Again, 17-3, you played horribly. The energy in the stadium was completely deflated, and yet there was almost no anxiety in the locker room. There was a bunch of guys that looked each other in the eye and said, look, like, we've got enough here to win today's game. We just have to be better. We have to be steadier. We have to go out and not try to get all 17 points back in one play. That's something TJ Edwards said yesterday as well. And so you just had a collective mindset that was calm. And I think that carried over into the second half where you just needed some kind of spark. And as you mentioned, Daniel Hardy provided the spark, and kudos to Jonathan Owens for making an athletic play to scoop that football up and get it across the goal line. Because if the Bears fall on it there, there's no telling if that's going to be a field goal or a turnover or, they take three sacks and two penalties and end up punting. Who knows what happens from there? And so that was a big touchdown that awakened the entire sideline, the entire stadium. And all of a sudden that belief swelled, because now you're right back in a football game, right? It's 17-10. You're within one score. And now you're just back to playing football instead of chasing points. And I thought that was a big part of things was to have that collective mindset to just go about it one step at a time and get it done.
What do you think we can make of the inactives and the decisions for game one outside of what may come with injuries and all that? But when you saw those names, what conclusions can we draw, if any, early?
Well, the only one that surprised me was Tyler Scott. You know, and you're trying to figure out what the pecking order of this receiving corps is going to be. Well, now that's going to be impacted potentially by injuries and availability this week. And so we'll see where they go from there. More concerning to me, Dan, is some of the personnel groupings that the Bears decided they would go with yesterday. You look at the snap counts. Cole Kmet, I think, played 27 of the 53 snaps. You're paying him a lot of money to do a lot of things for you, and he wasn't on the field a lot. There's a deep shot that Caleb Williams throws. I think it was in the first half to DeAndre Carter. Lined up to the left side of the field on that play are Travis Homer, DeAndre Carter, and Gerald Everett. And on the bench are DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and DeAndre Swift. And I said before the snap was taken, like, what are we doing here? You know, Nagy would do this at times where he would get so enamored with a certain concept he wanted to get to that had a fit with a certain personnel group that you'd forget that on third down, we want our best players on the football field. You know, and so they're going to have to smooth through that. Always give a new offensive coordinator a one or two game pass as he's trying to figure out the identity of a team and figure out what works for them and what doesn't. But I don't want this to be an offense that we're talking about all season where they're getting really cute and trying to find these neat little personnel groupings that you know, run a lot of distraction to the defense or whatever you're trying to do with them. Just play your best players and try to get your best players the football in situations where you need to get them the football and live with the results if it works or if it doesn't.
What did you think Caleb did well yesterday, if anything?
Yeah, so earlier today, Lawrence, I put my new little thing on Twitter, which is an emoji-based evaluation of all his passing plays plus a couple other things. I had zero star power plays yesterday, only eight thumbs up plays, and a whole world of minuses on my sheet. And I thought there were more. Look, like, I think the touchdown pass that Keenan Allen dropped is maybe his best play of the day, you know, and it results in an incompletion, but the decisiveness with which he got the football out.
And it's still a fluttery ball, though.
You've got a $23 million receiver.
I agree. I agree, but it was definitely a fluttery ball.
I have no qualms with that play. The special wasn't there yesterday. You know, there weren't a lot of highlights. It was very weird to walk into a post-game press conference without like a major highlight to talk about or a major mistake, you know, and I think the Bears kind of lean into that. Okay, he took care of the football. The other guy didn't, gave it to us three times, and that's why we're walking out of here with a 7-point possibly undeserved win to some extent. So the best thing Caleb did is he didn't make a catastrophic mistake. You're going to need to see a lot more. And we talked about on a quarterly basis, every single quarter, there better be one play in there where you go, that's the number one pick in the draft. That's the guy that everyone expects to be this quarterback of this franchise for the next 10 years. You have to show that on an every quarter basis. That didn't happen yesterday.
Talking with Dan Wiederer, he is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
What a moment for Jonathan Owens yesterday.
And like I say, I mean, such a big time in the game to make it, you know?
Yes.
And really, like you tell me how much airtime or ink in the newspapers last week was used on Daniel Hardy or Jonathan Owens, right? Probably less than zero, if that's even mathematically possible. To have those guys step up in that moment and be the reason that that game turned. I mean, you guys were around for the Lovey era. You know what it's like when you can lean into an opportunistic defense and a special teams unit that understands how to swing games. And when you don't know where those contributions are going to come from, but you know they're going to come at some point, it's an amazing boost of confidence for a football team. Owens obviously provides a big one. I thought DeAndre Carter's 67-yard kickoff return was another spark that gave the team some life. So some miscues on special teams, obviously the major one with Valus and a few penalties, but boy, you felt like that was a group that you can lean into for the remainder of the season to be a part of why you win games and not just along for the ride.
Dan, as always, we appreciate it. Good luck figuring out what the hell's going on with the injury to Rome Odunze.
Yeah, and do we know, they say we'll know more Wednesday, but obviously we expect to know more immediately after the conclusion of the MRI, which could be any time, correct?
Correct. And so there'll be some hooks in the water and, you know, you'll have to use some back channels to try to get some information and hopefully, particularly if it's positive news, you'd hope they'd get that out there sooner rather than later.
That's what we were saying, that if it's good news, that we should hear something this afternoon.
Yeah,
I would expect
everybody
that,
at ease.
Yes,
somewhere, somehow. And you know where I stand on the ability of a football team to message things like this. And so this will be an early season test of how they do this.
You had me with hooks in the water. I'm just, you know, thinking, looking where the wind and the sun right now.
Shock
I'd say.
In the water.
Nice little crankbait. Make sure you got those.
I know how to speak your language, Dan. Yeah, I know how to speak especially it, even though I don't fish at all.
The big boys are coming in. The king salmon are coming in. So so be ready. Have your good long net and some heavy gear.
Do the king salmon know what Rome's knee injury is?
They may. I'll ask if I see them. I will make
sure
to inquire.
Excellent.
That is Dan Wiederer. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune and us as well. And there is a special Take the North Live tonight, we are told by the producer of the Take the North podcast.
Where are they
Adam
taking
Stojanski.
It?
Well, the Take the North, they're taking the North.
Oh.
But they're going to be live.
Well,
tonight.
Well, I guess not even technically the Bears aren't in first place, right? So
I guess they're not because of tiebreakers already with the conference games.
Yeah.
I thought they were tied for first place.
No, they're in first
They're
place.
Not.
Well, they're not in last place, Packers.
They're not in last. Hey, that's the really good thing. How about that? Mm-hmm. How about that whole thing they got going on over there? Here's Malik Willis.
Pretty good, huh?
But yes, 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, David and Dan will be doing Take the North Live right here on The Score.
All right, well, let's talk about what went on around the league a little bit. Yesterday, we had a broadcast debut that was very, very mid and other things. A former Bears quarterback got himself a start and a win. That'll be part of our discussion when we return on The Score.